Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Let's read this verse and then we're going to pray, okay? I need everybody, whether you're in the back or whether you're in the front, I need everybody clued up, focusing on the Bible, listening, listening so that we learn. Let's read chapter 13, verse 1. The Bible says this, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. Is that a long time? That's a very long time. What were the children of Israel doing? They were doing evil. They were doing wrong. God had to let them be bullied around by some bad guys called the Philistines. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, everybody quiet. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to hear from you and we need you. I ask that you would guide our eyes and our ears to what you have to say. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for allowing us to read it with our own eyes. Lord, we just so thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you can teach us about a man named Samson. Not only was he a strong man, but he was supposed to do something strong and mighty, but he didn't. Lord, there's a reason for that. There are lots of reasons. God, there are some young people in this room who are very smart. They're very strong. They have all kinds of potential, God. But without you, they're going to do the same mistakes that Samson did. Without following Jesus, they're going to get in the same messes. I pray that you'd save some young people this week. God, that you would convict some teenagers, God, that their life does not belong to them anymore. That sin should not rule. That the devil should not be their Lord and their master anymore, but Jesus be their Lord. I pray that God, every person in this room would learn from Samson this week. And tonight, just open our eyes to who this guy was. Some of the mistakes he made. Some of the stupid mistakes he made. I pray that he would put the fear of God in us so that we would not make the same. So that we would be strong like Jesus was. Strong like David was. Strong like Paul and Peter. There are plenty of good, strong, godly men. We don't have to be like Samson. Lord, I pray that you'd just direct and help and guide every eye and every mind to these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Israel. Israel is in a mess. The nation was ungodly. If you walk down the streets in Israel, the ads were wicked. They advertise things that are not good. How many of you have seen on something on television that you know was bad to be looking at? There are lots of things that are advertised. In his day, bad, wicked things were everywhere. Is it the same today? Yeah. Israel as a nation was a mess. That's your fill-in if you want to try to keep up with me and fill in your words. It's a mess. They were up and down spiritually. They were never consistent, never faithful to God. Look back in chapter 2. You're in Judges, chapter 2 and verse 11. Chapter 2 and verse 11. Judges in your Bible, chapter 2 and verse 11. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. I mean, they just turned their back on God and they just went their own way. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods. What do we call other gods? Idols. They're evil. They're wrong. And yet Israel, the people of God, were following other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them. They listened to their friends' music. They went and did what their friends wanted to do, not what God wanted them to do. And they bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. David, come up here for a second. Am I your friend?
Yeah.
Am I your buddy?
Yeah.
All right. Now I want you to start pushing on me like this. Pushing. Harder. All right. You know what he's doing? Especially if I said, keep going, keep going, keep going. If I said, stop that. Now don't stop it. Keep going. And if I said, stop that. No, I'm telling you, stop it. You don't want to make me mad. Stop that.
Stop it!
All right. Do you know what that's called? That's called provoking, isn't it? If you just keep pushing on somebody, come on, come on, come on. What are they going to do? They're going to go, stop! Amen? Thank you. And you know what? You keep messing around with sin. You keep watching stuff. You keep saying things that are wicked and wrong. And one of these days, God's going to go, stop! It's wrong. And Israel as a nation provoked God to anger. Does God get angry? Yeah, you ever hear of Noah's flood? A lot of people died because God got angry. Verse 13, they forsook the Lord. What does that mean? They turned their back on him. They said, I don't need you anymore. They forsook the Lord and they served Baal, which was a demon, and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers. A spoiler is a robber, a thief, that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. They were greatly saddened. Verse 16, nevertheless, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? Nevertheless, the Lord raised up, what's the next word? Big word, what is it? Judges. Samson is going to be a judge. And the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Michael?
Sorry, that thing buzzed bigger. You might want to check those and call them back or whatever, see what's going on.
Okay. Verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring, they were loving other gods, bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandment, instead of obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. Was the judge a good guy or a bad guy? He was a good guy. And when the judge was in charge, things went well. When there was no judge, things went bad. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. They ceased not from their doings, nor from their stubborn way. That's a lot of verses that basically just tell you that Israel got themselves in trouble. God would try to get them back out of trouble, and as soon as that judge would die, where would everybody go? Right back into sin. So they were up and down. How many like to play with a yo-yo? A yo-yo is one of the dumbest inventions ever. All you're doing. It's all you're doing. There's nothing exciting about it. You don't even hit it. And it'd be cool if you could just go. That'd be cool. But a yo-yo is up and down. And people are like that spiritually. Oh, they're praying one day and the next day they're living in sin. They're doing something evil and wrong. That's what Israel was like. They were up and down spiritually all the time. So they needed some people called judges. We call them governors. They would help the Israelites do right. Now, you know, there are four chapters that are dedicated to this super human guy called Samson. Four chapters in your Bible. That's kind of pretty cool. Now, who was this guy? He had a special calling. He had a special purpose and design. From birth, he was handpicked by God to do something great. He was supposed to, you know what his name means? Samson means sunny. S-U-N-N-Y. They call him bright, all right? Because the time of that they lived in, it was very dark. It was very depressing. And they said, this boy is going to do something cool. He's going to be a bright light in a very dark time. He had a special calling. He was to be a godly leader. He was supposed to be a judge, someone with great authority. Go back there to chapter 13 again. Chapter 13 in Judges. Now you're going to learn these things. I'm just going to touch on them tonight, but you're going to learn these things throughout the week. There was a certain man, chapter 13, verse 2, of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And I'll just tell you a little bit of the story. An angel appears and says, you're going to have a baby. And they can't believe it. They are so excited. And the angel tells them, this is going to be a strong young man. He's going to do something great. So God wanted him. He designed him to do something great. He then has special training. He was trained. You know who his first trainers were? You know his first coaches? Every one of you have a coach or two. You have two coaches already in your life. You know who they are? Your parents. They're your first trainers. They train you how to sit up. They train you to eat your greens. They train you not to burp at the table, amen? They're your coaches, aren't they? They train you to put the shoes on the right feet, don't they? All right? Samson was trained first by his parents. Secondly, he was trained when he went down to the, it was like a synagogue where they learned the Bible and he would learn from the Bible about following God and I don't know if he ever had a youth camp. But you're in training tonight, you know that? This is a week of training. Some people go to training and all they do is this, all week long. I want to go for the Olympics. They go into training. You're in a different kind of training. You're in a training to do something great for God. This young man had special training. Do you know the Bible is the greatest instrument that trains us? I read a man, he's a black man named George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver was one of the most brilliant men ever. He saw things that everybody else said they're worthless, and he saw a peanut. How many of you in October, you know, in Halloween, all that stupid time, but you get those peanuts with the shells? Those used to be called Gerber's peas. That's what they were called. And they all said they're worthless. Nobody likes them. He found 300 ways to make money out of mushing up Goober's peas. I said Gerber's. Goober's peas, the peanuts, and he's the one that invented peanut butter. He invented peanut oil. He invented ways of making and raising of peanuts. He made and designed, and he came up with so much great stuff out of just peanuts. He came up with stuff about squash. I mean, you guys don't know what squash is. What's the word here? What are they called here? The gourds or whatever. Listen, this guy's the most brilliant. And somebody asked him and says, how'd you get so smart? He said, my mama taught me to read the Bible. My mom taught me that God is the one that opens the mind and the heart. And I just asked God to open my mind and to show me how beautiful this creation was and taught me how to just use my hands and my head. The Bible made me what I am. That was George Washington Carver. You don't have to go and be and live wealthy and go to the best schools. You just need a Bible. And that'll train you. The Bible says in Psalm 119, I know more than all my teachers because I keep thy precepts. I obey God's words. That is the university. That's the training that everybody needs. He has special power. Look in chapter 13, verse 24. Chapter 13, verse 24. Speaking of his mom. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Who blessed him?
The Lord.
The Lord did. Now, how many of you are growing up? I mean, I'm telling you, you know, Billy, first time I met Billy, where are you? Billy, come up here, stand up here for a second. Billy, you're 17? 18 years old. All right. Do you know when I first time I met him? He was that high. You've grown up, amen? Do you know what? Billy's got a special power. All right. That only God gave him. Singing, amen. Some of it. But Billy can preach. Billy can get on the street. You know what he does? He stands up there in Dundee, Scotland, and there are people passing by him. He opens up the Bible, and he preaches the gospel to them, and he's not afraid of one of them. He's not afraid of one of them. Thank you, Lord. He said, oh. God gave that. The first time I met him, he was as timid. He's as skinny and as ugly as all of you. God's done some great things in his life because the Lord was with him. And Samson was the same thing. God gave him his power. And I became superhuman. He's almost like a Superman. He was able to fight and win every battle. He had great power. But it requires special kind of living. It's a unique word. It's called a Nazarite, separated living. You're in Judges. Look at chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 6. In your Bible, chapter 17 and verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Everybody was doing what they wanted to do. Everybody did whatever they wanted to do. And it was going to be hard for Samson to do right unless he was separated. And what does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. Boys, come up here. All three of you. Now, if I wanted to make these three boys into better boys, you know what I would need to do? I'd need to separate them. Do you know what each of their dads told me to do when they were at camp? Separate them, amen? Amen. They were good dads. Because when they're together, you know what they do? Did you hear about them? And the best thing to do is separate them so that they can focus and listen just like you're doing right now. Thank you, gentlemen. You're being separated next time, man. Samson had to be separated. His mom and his dad were told, don't ever let him pick up a drink. Don't ever let him pick up a beer. Don't ever let him pick up a glass of wine. Some of your parents drink. Hope not. Amen. You should never ever pick up a boomer. There's some bottles out here. Somebody around here in this place. This is a scouting camp, not a Christian camp. There's somebody drinking boomers in this camp. Don't you ever pick up. It's wicked. If you're going to live for God, if you want God to bless you, you're going to have to look at those packs of cigarettes that everybody else thinks are cool, and you're going to have to say, I'm staying away from them. Because they'll kill you. It says it on there. Smoking kills! And yet everybody's smoking because it's cool. You're going to have to separate yourself from them. Just like Samson was supposed to be separated from sin, that if Samson was going to be a great and mighty man that he was supposed to be, he's going to have to stay away from some things. Amen? You know some friends that you say, every time I hang around with them, I get in trouble. Right? Yeah. You've got somebody that every time you hang around with them, you get in trouble. What should you do? Stay away from them. You know, the best thing I did when I first got saved, I was saved when I was 17 years old. You know what I did with my friends? I gave them the gospel. And they pulled away from me. I didn't need to get rid of them. They got rid of me. Amen. But Samson had to live a different kind of life. He had to be separated. God gave him instructions. Some of you need to learn to stand out from the crowd. You know what that means? It means when everybody else is staying in bed on Sunday morning, even if your parents don't want to be in the church, you need to be in church. You need to stand out at home. Every one of your friends, many of you don't have friends that love the Bible and love God. You need to carry your Bible with you to school. You need to, when you go back to school here in September, you need to take your Bible with you. Keep reading your Bible through every single day and just freak everybody out. Amen? Live different. You know what? Samson got to do something fun. All right? He got to grow his hair without ever cutting it. All right? I mean, you know what that did? It made him look really weird. Because everybody cut their hair. You're supposed to cut your hair, aren't you, if you're a guy? Amen. But he said, wow, I get to look different. When I was a kid, everybody wanted to wear these stupid jeans, and the bottom of the jeans looked like dresses. Because they were so big at the bottom. But we thought we were so cool. I'm different, man. The problem is, all of my friends wore the same things. I had long hair. My hair was down to here. We always unbuttoned our, we were from the 1960s and 70s. We unbuttoned our shirt down to here. We thought we were real cool. And yet, and everything we did, we thought we were being different, but what we were doing was being the same. You know what's different? You know what's different? A young man who stands up straight, combs his hair, looks people in the eyes, says yes ma'am, yes sir, when they're asked a question, or no ma'am, no sir, they get up and they read their Bible, they're in church and they sing. You know what I like about camp? Some of you actually do sing at camp, and it would be really cool next Sunday when you go to church for you to be the loudest and most excited singing Christian in that meeting. That's standing out, amen? That's what it means to be like a Nazarite. You stand out. You look a little different. All of your friends, they all want to have these. They want to put their initials in their head. You over here, it says my name. You look at it, it says, no, dummy. It says, dummy. Everybody wants to, listen, stand out. What do I do here? Samson lived different. Do you know what's terrible? It was a failure. Samson is one of the saddest men in the Bible. Nothing went right for Samson. This guy never enjoyed a single day of his life, even though God made him strong. Fernando, if you could, let's just pretend for a second that you could, nothing in here, move. let's see if Fernando was strong enough and he just leaned against this thing and he was just so strong he could just bend it. I mean, would you like that power? Would you like that strength? Yeah, you could sneeze and the whole thing would go flying away. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Yeah, don't ever sneeze. But if you never enjoyed a day of your life, if you were sad, if you're depressed, if nothing worked, Samson, everything he tried, everything he wanted failed. The only time when he got angry and when people are fighting him, oh, he could defeat them. But he never got one thing he wanted out of life. He tried to get married one time, lost it. He lost his mom and dad. He lost his eyesight. He lost his health. He lost his sanity. Nothing that Samson should have been the most successful man there is. And he had no joy. He had no success. Why? Because he never did what God asked him to do. He never, ever just did what God designed him to do. He was a failure. You know what that looks like? It looks like this. Loser. Loser. Now, a couple of contrasts. This guy was supposed to be separate from sin, and yet all he ever did was you find him messing around with sin everywhere. You know, some of you have Christian parents. Amen. And some of you know what's right and wrong to do, and yet you're supposed to be separate from sin and not supposed to be messing around with sin, and yet some of you are messing around like there's no tomorrow. Just like Samson did. Samson, you know who Samson's best friends were? The Philistines. Who were the Philistines? They were the enemies. They're the bad dudes. And yet Samson's best friends were the Philistines. This guy was so physically strong, and yet when the devil came around, I mean, the devil, all the devil had to do was go, boo. And Samson was like butter. He had no strength against temptation. Oh, he could pick up cars, man. He was so strong. Samson was so mighty and so strong, but he could not stand against temptation. All he had to see was a pretty girl. And he was like this. He was weak, amen? Yet he's the strongest man alive. He was so courageous. Nothing ever scared Samson. Did you ever notice that? When you read these next four chapters over this week, you're going to see nothing scared him. He was so courageous. He was brave. But his brain was thinking like a baby, like a child. All he thought about was selfishness. He was like a little bitty baby. I mean, if you met somebody that looked like that, would you think he was a baby?
what he was.
Everyone looking at Samson would have thought that he was a success. But to God, he was a big disappointment. What are we going to learn this week? What are we going to learn from Samson's life? We're going to learn what this is. How many of you know what I'm pointing at? What am I pointing at? You say skin, but what does the Bible call it? The flesh. This is the me that you see. And it's the part of me that I have the most trouble with. We're going to learn about the flesh this week. There's another part of me. How many parts are there to me? Three. I have a body. You're looking at me. Pretty good looking. I have a soul. That's my emotions. And I have a what? A spirit. Now, we're going to learn that usually all I do is what my flesh wants to do. But if I'm saved, I'm supposed to do what my spirit is telling me to do. Samson did not know how to do what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do through the Spirit. He only did what his stomach told him, what his eyes told him, what his flesh told him to do. We're going to learn that battle. Some of you need to be able, at the end of this week, to be able to pray and know that you're being heard in heaven. And then be able to hear him impress on your heart what to do for him. We're going to learn that God designed you for a cool thing. I don't know what God made you for. Maybe to be a rocket scientist and launch a space shuttle in the next 20 years. A better one, amen? God designed you for something cool. God designed Samson to be a judge, didn't he? Yep. To be the governor of Israel. Did he ever really accomplish that? No, he was a judge, but he was a pathetic failure of a judge. He was not known ever as a man of God. He was never as a deliverer of God's people. The only good thing that ever happened was by accident. When Samson did something good, it was because God helped him. Most of the time, the rest of the time, he was a failure. He never achieved his purpose. I want to show you the power of obeying God. I want to show you how to trust the Lord this week. You know what? Samson's surrounded by 1,000 men. All right, let's pretend. Gregory, if everyone in this room became your enemy right now, and you're surrounded by just 70 of us, could you defend yourself against all of us? No. But Samson had 1,000 guys. Samson didn't have a sword. He didn't have a gun. He looked around. You know what he saw? A bone. And it was a weird looking bone. It's called a jawbone. You know this thing right here? The jawbone of a donkey. He picked that thing up, and 1,000 guys came at him, and he knocked them all cold. Because he's cool. Right? Wouldn't you like that coolness? Amen? We're going to learn, listen, that the power of God, it wasn't because he was so great. It's because God said, I got to protect Samson. I've got to use Samson. Wouldn't you like to be used by God so that you could pick up a rubber band, an elastic band, and still win? What are we going to learn this week? We're going to learn how to trust the Lord. And we're going to learn that no matter how far you fall, God can still reach you and strengthen you and use you. I want to be used by God. Samson finally, so desperately wanted to be used by God, and he was used only at the end of his life. But I want to be used by God before I die. We're going to learn about that. Now, where do we begin? With our relationship with God. I need you to look up at me for a second. Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago. It was not an accident. He was trying to get our attention. All right? And I want you to understand that he wants you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's not just some guy that lived 2,000 years ago. Samson's not just some guy that lived 1,200 years ago. Sorry, 3,200 years ago, 3,200 years ago. Samson, I want you to understand, Samson was somebody we're going to learn from, but Jesus wants to live in your heart. And there is such a need this week for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ where you want to talk to him, where you can't wait. Shh, look at me. Where you can't wait to finish up the meeting so that, you want to go downstairs. I know you want to go downstairs and play. Where you say, you know what? I need to get away and pray. I want to get my heart right. I want to get close to God. I want to listen to his voice. This is where we begin this week. Because some of you, listen, Some of you may think you're a Christian, but you've never been born again. See, most every one of us got baptized when we were babies. Did that make us Christians?
No.
It did not. You know what makes you a Christian? Jesus in your heart. But he doesn't just walk in. You have to invite him in. And you need him in. You need to desperately have him in. The one thing that would be terrible if you came to a Christian youth camp for a whole week and if you didn't get saved, what an awful waste. Samson grew up in a home where he heard the Bible every day. Samson grew up in a home where he learned about Jesus. Well, not about Jesus at that time, but about God and about how awesome God was. But he said, nah, not for me. Don't waste this week. Let's all stand and let's bow in prayer.